a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nightside Project.
Look at the size of that boy's head. I'm not kidding. It's like an orange and a toothpaste.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
It's summer now. They told me this would be temporary.
It cannot end soon enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. Special spring season, limited edition spring season of the Nightside Project.
We're already branding it as summer. So
let's see here.
So we haven't hit summer yet, but we're branding it like that, which means that it is. We have a text that came in. It says, oh, you said send me a text, okay? Well, then here you go. Why can't people just be decent and respect other people's personal space? I mean, seriously, is it really that hard?
Excellent point.
That's a really
good point.
And look, yep. I just love that they were enraged enough by us hounding them to send a text in that they finally said, fine, here.
Maybe
as simple as this.
Maybe they felt like we weren't respecting their personal space.
Well,
maybe.
Listen, you and I both, and like I said, you and I both, when the rules say, hey, do this, we kind of do it. You and I are both kind of rule followers. Despite our shows, are you drinking a fountain drink while we're having the show here? Is that what's going on?
No.
I heard. Hold on. Is that Pebble Ice in that foam cup? I'm so mad right now.
Why? Because you can't have drinks in the studio and I can?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, talk to your engineers, man.
That'll be good.
Set the rules.
Hey, guys, I'm looking to do a 44-ouncer maybe in the studio. Is that okay?
Well, when I was there, you could.
I know, and that's
there
why
was
we had
no,
to get
there
new
were
boards.
No rules.
They go, hey, like we're gonna have to get the, we're gonna have to get new boards because these are dripping in syrup. I don't know what the deal is. All right, we gotta kick off the next portion of the show here, Ethan.
I've got some headlines.
It's your headlines, so just jump right in. Give us the stuff from the day that caught your attention.
All right, headlines from today: a French dairy farmer has accidentally created a new type of cheese. Now we've always kind of had it in our minds that. Dairy products don't go bad. They just turn into a different kind of dairy product, right? That's kind of how it works to some degree. But coming up with a new cheese out of neglect is actually fairly rare. A man named Lionel Voxelair, who is a farmer, he has 25 cows and he makes Munster cheese. Now, when the Munster cheese has to be washed, the rind has to be washed daily during the, you know, the curing process. And when demand collapsed for the coronavirus, he had about 60
wheels.
Oh, I don't know what you call about 60 wheels of this Munster cheese in a cellar. And so he just basically forgot about it. And then he went back down there. He's like, oh, man, I left this cheese down here. And oh, lo and behold, it's turned into a completely new kind of cheese that he thinks stands on its own. And so he's dubbed it. The confinement cheese.
Oh, okay.
And
this guy, I'll just tell you right now.
It sold out.
Oh.
It sold out.
I will tell you right now, this guy's been planning this all along, and here's the thing.
You think so?
Well, okay. So you left some cheese a little bit longer than what it should have been left. You're the first person to ever do that. Good job, cheesemaker.
It's rare to do this, though, out of just neglect. And have it work out because usually it
gets moldy
and you throw it out.
Ethan, call me when. Look, those monks put all those. There's those monks that make the crypt cheese or whatever. It's like fed by the worms from dead bodies or something like that. And they're like, oh yeah, it's good stuff.
This good is stuff. Listen
that's
to how he describes
that's the
this.
Perfect. That's the exact
Listen how he describes it.
That's the neglect cheese right there. Le Confit Moon.
It has got all the flora of our full-fat raw milk and the flora of the cellar.
Oh, gosh. Because you left it on the floor of the cellar.
Mm-hmm. It's chalky inside with a floury crust, which
gross.
Is grayish and speckled.
Who wants a dusty piece of cheese? What did it say? It's what in the middle?
It is chalky.
That is disgusting. Nobody wants
you've had chalky cheese before. It's just kind of cheese that's got more of a dry texture.
So that's it. All right. Like a cotija? Like a queso fresco type of situation?
No, that's not chalky.
Hmm?
Queso fresco is not.
Queso fresco.
All right.
What else do you got for me besides fake cheese?
Another story that you can make fun of?
Well, no, but I'm just saying I'm not saying you did this. I'm saying this guy is taking advantage of the fact that he basically didn't do his job, and then he's like, I got a new cheese.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. The mayor of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Jim Kenney, has kicked off a new campaign to alert you to the fact that it's actually really inappropriate to flush things like gloves and masks or otherwise allow them to enter into the sewers and the storm drains because they don't break down. They've actually caused a lot of problems. A lot of problems.
Cannot say this enough.
They say
this would have been a joke headline for me 10 years ago, but I've been a landlord. And there are the things that people send down the toilet that I've had to call plumbers on. Like, I cannot believe it.
Shame on all of you.
Well, and you have to go.
On all of you for doing this, Dallas.
Well, here's the thing. Why would you think a Q-tip would go down a toilet bowl normally? You know what I mean? And it's like the kind of thing where it's like, I used 11 Q-tips tonight. I'm putting them all down the toilet. It's like,
why would you put them in the toilet? Why would you put them in the garbage?
Because, Ethan, the same reason people are putting rubber gloves down the toilet. They're like, oh, yeah.
Because they're morons. So here's the deal. In Philadelphia, between mid-March and the end of April, almost all of the city's sewer and storm pumping stations experienced clogs from face masks, gloves, and wipes.
You remember
that
the Fatbergs? Do you remember the Fatbergs they were finding?
Yeah, the Fatbergs, yeah.
This would be a new weird twist on the Fatberg you'd find underneath cities now, right?
Imagine a Fatberg with like some latex gloves in it sticking out of it.
Oh, gosh.
You go it almost looks like it's alive. Pop out.
Yeah, it almost looks like it's alive because it has hands on it and it's got mask. It's got a mask on it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like that the Fatberg's trying to social distance from you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, keep her going. Let's go. What do you got for headlines?
So,
did you just take another drink off your drink?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't. No. Pamela Mooring, who's a spokesperson for D.C. Water in Washington, D.C., said, quote, when everyone rushed out to get toilet paper and there was none, people were using whatever they could. And that was a problem they had in Washington, D.C. I'm just trying to share with you all of the sewer problems that cities across the country are sharing.
Sure, I'm on board. Look, if you don't have sewers, you ain't. You get what I'm saying?
Well, but you can kind of see how that would happen. Now, I'll tell you this. The whole business with the face masks and the gloves, those would never go down the toilet in any circumstance. I am, however, sympathetic to people when they have no toilet paper, and they're like, well, I used this crushed up, I wrinkled up this newspaper to make it soft, and then I flushed it. I'm sympathetic to that. You shouldn't do that. You should. I can't believe this is a conversation we're having.
No, keep going.
But you throw it in the garbage.
I'm going to give you 5 more minutes on septic talk.
But
stuff that breaks down in the toilet. Thanks, Millard.
So experts say the best thing to do is if you've got to use all... And this is what we should have done when it was actually hard to get toilet paper.
Yeah.
Where was KSL then? Was KSL sharing this information?
KSL wants to apologize
because
for not
the
sharing
Project,
the types of plants that are appropriate out in the wilderness for you to use.
Because the Nightside Project, I feel like we came on the air after toilet paper really was widely available.
Ethan, everything is toilet paper if you're brave enough. All right?
I'm sympathetic, though, that then it becomes flushable. It's like, well, is this flushable? I don't care. I'm getting it out of my house.
For sure.
I'm sympathetic to that, right?
Listen,
but really, you got to throw it in the garbage bag.
I'm sure this cannot just be Philadelphia. I'm sure there are people that are flushing gloves and masks right now as they don't listen to the Nightside Project right here in Utah.
And which is why you listen to the
if you're
Project.
Listen
you get this kind of information.
If I find out you're a glove flusher, I'm coming over to your house. You know that's what my new stance is. If I find out that you're a glove flusher, then I have to tell you that we're not going to be friends anymore.
Among the things that you should not flush,
tell me. Gloves and masks.
Gloves and masks.
Yeah, got it.
Wet wipes.
That's also been on the list for a while, but yeah.
Untended Munster cheese from France.
Actually, you will end up sending that one down the old pipes, yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Good chat, Ethan. I'm glad you brought up that stuff.
Good job, everybody.
All right, let's take the break here. Hey, coming up in about 20 minutes, first world problems. Start warming them up now. You can even start sending them in right now. And you can start, you know, complaining about the things that you might feel bad about complaining about because they're kind of low-level problems, but we want you to share them here. First world problems, those are going to be coming up in just a little while. Stay with us. The Nightside Project continues on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.